The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Parashas Re'eh, the mitzvah in the Torah, which is considered Ha'ikah Shebechol HaTorah Kula, the major mitzvah of the entire Torah, and it's a mitzvah in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, has given more harchokot and chumras, that the Almighty was more strict with this mitzvah and gave more precautions to guard this mitzvah more than all other mitzvahs. And it also deals with what that the transgression of this mitzvah the Almighty hates more than any other mitzvah is the mitzvah of Aveda Zora, of idolatry. And included in this mitzvah is what we call minus ve'apokorsus, denial of the Almighty, kefrim be'ikur, that one who denies the Almighty and his mitzvahs. And this is a mitzvah which Klal Yisrael would comment it on in great detail. But this also was a mitzvah which was given to the entire world. And just like Klal Yisrael was commanded that they have to accept and believe in the 613 mitzvahs which were given to them from the Almighty, so was the entire world commanded to believe in the 7 mitzvahs which were given to them. The majority of the mitzvahs of the Torah generally have to do either with the body, the physical body of the person. For example, when it comes to negative commandments, he's commanded on what not to eat, he's commanded on what not to drink, or in regards to other desires, other physical desires of the body. Or there are many commandments which have to do with the lev and nefesh, with the heart, and the heart and the emotions of the person. For example, he's commanded there are mitzvahs that have to do with ava, love, mitzvahs that have to do with sino, hatred, nikimo, kino, revenge, jealousy, and so forth. Mitzvahs aveda zora, though, idolatry, or to believe, this is a mitzvah which has to do with the makshova, with the intellect, with the mind. And the mind is the crown of the person. So therefore this was a mitzvah that was given to us intellectually, ideologically. And there are many, many halachos that have to do with this mitzvah, which are dependent on hirurei halev ve'hirurei ha'machshava, ha'moach, with thoughts alone. Now, in this parshas Re'eh, a great many of these mitzvahs are extended here. For example, the Torah tells us it starts to begin in the beginning. That Re'eh kinesen lifnechem hayem brocha uklolo. That I am placing before you brocha, blessing and curse, as a brocha asher tishmu el mitzvus Hashem elekechem asher anechi mitzavishem hayom. The blessing that you will listen to the mitzvus of Hashem which I am commanded you today. V'haklola im leisishmu el mitzvus Hashem elekechem. The curse if you will not listen to the mitzvus of Hashem. Then it states v'satem min haderech asher anechi mitzavishem hayom v'leches acherei elim acherim asher leyadatem. That you will turn away from the way which I have commanded you to serve other gods which you do not know. So here the Torah tells us that be careful, do not turn away from all of the mitzvahs and serve other gods that you do not know. Rashi brings the Sifri. Halamarito, what does it mean? You shall not turn away from all I am placing before you. All of the mitzvahs you should do and all the mitzvahs you should not do. What does it mean that you should not turn away from all of the mitzvahs which I have given you and serve gods which you do not know. From here we learn that whoever serves idolatry is as if he has turned his back on all of the mitzvahs of the Torah. Mikan omru. From here the sages say, kol ameida b'aveda zora kekefer b'chol ha'teira kula. Whoever concedes to idolatry, he denies the entire Torah. There's another part of the Chazal that Rashi doesn't bring. Kol ha'kefer b'aveda zora. Whoever denies idolatry, arehu meida b'chol ha'teira kula. Then he concedes, he accepts the entire Torah. This means not, doesn't only mean that someone who will go after idolatry will eventually go away from all of the Torah. It's also true. It means something else. That someone who will go after idolatry, but the rest of the Torah he keeps. You have a person who's a Shemir Torah or mitzvahs. He keeps Torah and he keeps mitzvahs. But he serves idolatry. And again, idolatry, inclusive in that, is apikursis, kfira, someone who denies HaKadosh Baruch Hu or his mitzvahs. So you have a person who keeps mitzvahs, but he serves idolatry, or he denies certain parts of the Torah. Then that is not considered a person who keeps mitzvahs. Even the mitzvahs that he does are not mitzvahs. It's as if he denies the entire Torah. This is something that needs explanation. Hopefully it will be explained during the course of the shir. The Torah tells us further in the parsha. Gives us a mitzvah of Ibud Aveiros Zorah Be'eretz Yisrael. Kadosh Baruch Hu hated idolatry. He hates it. And he commanded us not only to go after it, we should not go after it, but we must destroy every bit of it in Eretz Yisrael when we get control of the land. As it states further in the parsha, in Perek Yud Beis, Eila achukim ha-mishpotim asher tishmunu la'asis ba'oretz asher anosan Hashem elekei ha-vesecha l'chol rishto. These are the statutes which I give you when you go into the land and you inherit the land. Abeta abdun es kol amekemus. Totally destroy and annihilate all of the places, asher ovdu shom agoyim, in which the nations of the world have worshipped them. Es aleihem, their gods, ale horim aromim, on the mountains, valagvos, in the valleys, sahas kol eitz ranon, and beneath all of the trees, you shall break their altars, uproot their altars, you shall burn down their trees that they worshipped, and you shall destroy their idols, and you shall destroy their very name from this place. Should not do this to Hashem. Here we see where HaKadosh Baruch Hu could not tolerate any resemblance of the idolatry in Eretz Yisrael. Now we have another mitzvah. Okay. We have a mitzvah which follows to destroy the seven nations that lived in Eretz Yisrael totally. They were idolaters in order that they should not influence you to idolatry. Torah tells us in Choftes, Yud Beis Choftes, Ki yachris Hashem elekecha sagoyim asher atov oshom el reshes eisom iponecho. That when you will defeat the nations in this land that you're coming to inherit, Hishomelecho. Be careful. Be careful that they should remain there. Penitinoke shachareim acharei shomdem bifanecho. Lest they will be an obstacle to you. They will influence you. Ufentidreish leilehem lemor. Unless they will have you seek out their gods. Unless you will say, Echo yabdu agoyim ha'elu. Eseilem. Eseilehem. Lest you will say, let us go see how they serve their gods. It's an interesting religion. It's of interest. So let us go study their ways also. Echo yavdu agoyim ha'ele es elohim. Let us see how they worship their gods. Ve'esekein gamonu. And then we will also do that. Le'isasekein la'ashem elokecho. You shall not do this to Hashem. Ki chol te'avas Hashem ha'shesone osu le'lehem. He says, don't worry, their ways are not so good. Because all of the abominations which I hate, they do to their gods. And even their sons and their daughters, they burn in fire to their gods. Rashi brings Gam Lerabais Esavesehem Vimesehem. Not only do they burn their children to their gods, but they burn their fathers and mothers also to their gods. Omer Rabbi Kiva Nirisi Nochi Shekofoseleoviv Lifne Kalbe Vachale. Rabbi Kiva said, I once saw an idolater that he tied up his father in front of a dog, that the dog should eat him. This was a way of their serving. Then, a little further, we have another such mitzvah. And this is the mitzvah of Novi Sheker. In Yud Gimel Beis, Ki yoki bikibecho Novi ochelim chaloim. That if a prophet will rise up amongst you, a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he will come and say that the Almighty has appeared to me, or I had such a dream. And we ask him, prove it. V'nosan elecha eis emefes. And he will do a wonder in front of you, a miracle. And he'll say, Neilcha acharei elihim acharim asher liyadatim v'no avdeim. And it will be a real miracle, a real wonder. He'll say, this and this will happen, and it happens. And he says, let us go serve gods which you didn't know before. This was the prophecy. This was the dream. So a man comes and he shows us real wonders, claiming that he has a prophecy, that the Almighty said, let us go serve other gods, or let us go do something which is against the mitzvahs of the Torah. Le'sishma el divrei anaviyahu, o el chelim achelimahu. You shall not listen to this prophet or this dreamer, no matter who he is. Ki menase Hashem elokechem eschem lodas ayishkem avim Hashem elokechem. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is merely testing you. Acharei Hashem elokechem teilechu, but you shall go after your God. Now we see the wrath of the Almighty. V'anovi ahu uchelim achelim ahu yumos. This man you shall put to death. Because he has told lies about the Almighty, who has taken you out of Egypt, and he wants to lead you, mislead you. This is the mitzvah of Novi Sheker. Then the Torah follows it with another mitzvah, Meisi Shemidiyah. What happens if a close relative comes to you? A brother, a daughter, a wife, and he or she will tell you, Neilcho v'navdo elihim acherim asher liyodato ato v'amisecho. Let us go and worship gods of others, which we didn't know and our fathers didn't know. Gods which are of the nations that live around us. Hakrevim or Rachekim, those who are close by, Elecha, or those who are far away. Mikseoris, Akseoris, from one end of the world to the other. Rashi brings here, firstly, when someone comes and says, let us go serve a religion which our fathers didn't know. So Rashi points out, Dovah Zeginai Godl. He says, this is a great disgrace. Shafa Umesein Menichin Masha Mosru Lem Avisehem. Even the nations of the world do not forsake what was given to their fathers. So why should Jews forsake that what was given to their fathers? Then Rashi points out another something else. Hakrevim or Achekim. Those that are close by, those that are far away. Lama Porat, why does the Torah tell us this? Because mitivin shall crave him atoloma tivin shall achake him. From the other religions which are nearby, you will understand the religions which are far away. Just like with the religions that are nearby, aim, the mamish, there's nothing in them. So in the religions far away also, there is nothing in them. Many times, unfortunately, and today you have people will tell you, far away, there they know things. Far away, see, in the Orient, in the East. Why do they want to go to the Orient? Why do they want to go to the East? What's the matter with right here? Because these religions, they know there's nothing in them. But far away there is. See? There they know about meditation. And there they know about healing processes. And there they know about dreams and prophecies. Why do they have to go to the Far East? Go right here. The answer is because it's not here. So then why is it far away? Akrevim, they'll tell you, let us go serve that which is nearby, or Archeikim, that which is far away. Kishem she'en bekrevim mamish, the Torah is telling you, just like right on your back doorstep, you know that it's worthless, it's bunk. Kach berachekim, so is it that what is on the other side of the world. But at any rate, someone will come and tell you that. You shall not listen to them, and not only you're not allowed to listen to them, but since they tried to draw you away from Hashem to other gods and to other religions, leisachmo, you're not allowed to have rachmim on them. Ki horeg tahargenu, but they must be given the death penalty. Yot chatiya bebereshein, and you should be the first one to give it to them. Lahamisay. Ki bikesh lahadichacho me'al Hashem elakecho, because they have tried to take you away from Hashem, your God, who has taken you out of Egypt. Mebeis avodim, from the house of slavery. And Rashi brings from the Gemara here, even though I said that you should love everyone, leisevelei, this man you must, this woman you must not love, and even though that I said that you must have rachmonos on everyone, compassion, this person you must not have compassion on, and even though I said that you must not stand by and see bloodshed, this person you must spill his blood. We have another further. Now this is the mitzvah of Iran Didachas. In Yud Gimel, Posuk Yud Gimel. Ki sishma ba'achas orecho asher Hashem elakecho nesin lechol Hashem ishom leimor. When you hear that in one of the cities, in Eretz Yisrael, Yotzu anoshim b'nei v'liyal mikirbecho, people, Belial, wicked people came, Jews, by Adichu es Yeshve Irom Lemor, and they have misled the dwellers of the city, saying, Neilcho v'nabdo lihim achirim asher leyadatem, that we will go and worship other gods and other religions. Then you shall investigate. And if this is true, that the whole city went, Hakei sake es Yeshve Irahi lefichorev, then you are obligated to go to war against that city and to destroy it with the sword. Achrei Meisov es kol asher bo. Destroy everything, even the animals, and everything you shall take to the middle of the city, v'sarafta be'esh, and you shall burn it in fire, and you shall make it a tail, a great hill, a great mound that should be there forever, and you're never allowed to rebuild this city. So many of the mitzvahs that have to do with idolatry, what we're speaking about, are in this parsha. And we see that besides being this, what is called the ikar, the main mitzvah of the Torah, we see the Torah has been extremely stringent in its chumras and harchokas, in keeping a Jew far afield from this. And we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's wrath grows. It's brought in the parasha that it states when there's Avedah Zorah ba'elam, Charein af ba'elam, when there is idolatry in the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's wrath grows in the world. Now many people will tell us that these were important mitzvahs a long time ago, when there were pagans in the world and heathens in the world and stupid idolaters in the world that thought who knows what. So these were important mitzvahs in Avraham's time, in Avraham Avinu, and also to the Goyim. But today we don't study these mitzvahs because there's no Avedah Zorah in the world today. There's no idolatry. 20th century people are too clever for idolatry. And I mean, we were capable of going to the moon, and especially amongst Jews it's not relevant. This is a great untruth, unfortunately and tragically, very great untruth. We've spoken about this in the past, we just make mention again. But tragically, the world at large, almost the entire world, is a world of idolatry. It's a world of idolatry, a world of kfira, atheism, of apikursus and minus. I'll give you an example. We start with the Far East and the Orient. The Far East and the Orient, there you have your real simple idolatry. You take the people of Japan, China, India, and the other countries of the region, other Asian countries. We're speaking now of billions upon billions of people. You go to Black Africa. This is idolatry. Again, millions or billions of people. You go to Russia, where there are billions of people. Russia was a government, a country which is based on kfira, atheism. This is its official policy, to deny the existence of a God, of a creator, of a Torah, of a religion. This is Russia. Official policy, atheism. You go to the Arabs in the Persian Gulf. Yeah, I know people will tell you, oh, that's all right. All the Arabs, which we're talking about hundreds of millions of people, that's all right. Because there they have their prophet and they really believe in God and so forth and so on. It's a Baba Meisa. These are people that deny. They deny the Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and mitzvahs, full stop. If they didn't, they wouldn't be intent on annihilating the Jew from the world. You can't believe in Hashem and his mitzvahs and at the same time be bent on annihilating the Jew from the world. You had Europe. Europe is enlightened. Hitler was the prime kafir. Hitler and all of his followers, which numbered into the millions and millions of people. We're not talking many years ago, we're not talking 1,000 years ago. What are you going to tell me? They were maminim. They weren't kafir. They didn't deny HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They believed in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They just wanted to annihilate his Jew. They wanted to annihilate the Jew who represented that there's a God in the world. Hitler was the self-crowned God of the world. And the rest of Europe, you can judge for yourself. Then you come to the luminaries of the West, the enlightened West. Now, when it comes to the great religions of the West, all right, that you can judge. Judge for yourself. But what about the atheism of the West? What about the evolutionists of the West? Evolution is not idolatry. Evolution is not kafira. That they're denying the existence of God, the existence of a creator, the existence of mitzvahs. What about the liberal movement of the West, which we spoke about at length at other times? I'm not going into it now. But what about the liberal movements of the West that have torn every shred of mitzvahs that were given even to the nations of the world? They have torn up and disposed of. In the West, in countries, it becomes a whole question if you'll teach any religion in anything that's funded by the government. It becomes a whole case, because the government is supposed to be something which is totally divorced from religion. Now, we've just covered the entire world. So how can we say that these are mitzvahs, these are laws that were good for 5,000 years ago, but not today? Where are the maminim today? Where are those? It's not a question, where are the idolaters and the atheists today? Where are the maminim? Where are those that believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that believe B'tei Rosh in His Torah? Perhaps then someone will say, but you don't have to do that. But you do. If you study the laws of Avodah Zarah, you'll see that you have to. Even the nations of the world. And then we come to Israel. Now Israel, we say, well, at least it's not a problem in Israel. Again, tragically, unfortunately it is. In Israel, amongst Jews, we do not lack our problems of assimilation. Baruch Hashem, here it's at a minimum compared to the rest of the Jewish world. But we do not lack our problems of assimilation. We do not lack our problems of cults, of Oriental religions. We do not lack our problems of kfir b'mitzvahs, of denying mitzvahs Hashem. Again, Baruch Hashem, people, Jews here don't realize what a haven they have in South Africa when it comes to the Jewish world. But in the rest of the Jewish world, it's not like that. But there's more to it. Let's go into this a little deeper. They say over from the great Reb Chaim Brisko that he used to say, on some Jews, he used to say, Nebach. Nebach, how unfortunate it is. As an apikeres, and er alein veistosnit. He's an apikeres, he's an unbeliever, and he doesn't even realize it. If we go into these alohas a little greater, we will realize what he was meaning. Now, first of all, why was HaKadosh Baruch Hu so strict with this mitzvah? Because this mitzvah is not another mitzvah of the Taryag. The Gemara tells us that when the Taryag mitzvahs were given, it was not Taryag, it was not 613. It states two mitzvahs were given, and then 611 mitzvahs were given. Torah Tziva Lono Moshe, Torah Begematri, the numerical value of Torah is 611. The other two was given by Hashem himself. Moshe commanded us in the 611 mitzvahs through HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the first two were given by Hashem himself. What were the first two? Anechi Hashem Elokecha. I am the Lord your God. Lo yeh lecho elohim acherim. You shall not have other gods, but gods of others. See, now the mitzvahs of Anechi Hashem Elokecha and Lo yeh lecho elohim acherim, these are the mitzvahs of Averi Zora, of Emunah, of belief. You shall believe in me and only in me, and you shall not make for yourselves other gods. These are not the same as the other mitzvahs of the Torah, as we see ourselves. Those HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave. The other 611, they were given by Hashem, but through Moshe. All 611 are dependent on these two mitzvahs. This is the Shorish HaKol. This is the root. These are the roots of all the other mitzvahs. Because all the other mitzvahs are based on one root that the Almighty has commanded us in them. This is the root of every mitzvah. Hashem has commanded us. This is what the word mitzvah means. And this is why we make a brocha shekichonu b'mitzvaso v'tzivonu, that you have commanded us in a mitzvah. Contrary to popular belief, we don't do mitzvahs because they're nice to do. We don't do mitzvahs because they're beneficial for us. We don't do mitzvahs because we'll have something from it. This is not why we do mitzvahs. The fact is, many mitzvahs, if they're done with that motive, it'll be a question if you fulfill the mitzvah. It's true, they're good for us and we'll have benefit. But the reason why we do mitzvahs is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has commanded us in the mitzvah. And that's why we say, Asher kitchanu b'mitzvaso v'tzivonu, that you have commanded us in this mitzvah. How can there be a command of a mitzvah if we don't believe in Hashem? How can there be a command of a king if we've never accepted the king? That's why these two mitzvahs are different. First, you must accept me. Anechi Hashem Elokecha. I am your Lord. I am your king. And you must accept that there are no other kings. Once you've done that, now we can speak of mitzvah HaMelech, of the commands of the king. But if you reject the king, you reject the Almighty, you have other gods, so then what are mitzvahs? It's bottled, the entire mitzvahs are bottled. Can there be a tree without the roots? This is why the sages always refer to this as the ikar. These are the roots of all mitzvahs. And this is why the sages always refer to these as kofar b'ikar. That if someone denies this, it's not he's denying a mitzvah. He's not denying a branch on a tree or a fruit on a tree, but he is attacking the roots of the tree. What kind of tree that can there be, or what kind of fruit can there be without the roots of the tree? This is what the Chazal means when they said that whoever denies idolatry and atheism, now he has accepted the entire Torah. He's accepted there's a God. He's accepted his Torah. He's accepted the Torah. Whoever is an atheist doesn't believe in Hashem. So what is the Torah then? then the entire Torah is not a Torah. It's not from Hashem. So it's worthless. I once heard the great Rabbi Kotler speak. And at that time he was speaking against the conservative and reform movement in the United States. And he said when the conservative and reforms, when they change the Torah, and they say these mitzvahs we will do and these mitzvahs we will not do, don't make the mistake to think that the mitzvahs they're doing are mitzvahs. He says all of the mitzvahs they do now are not mitzvahs. Why? For this reason. Because they have rejected HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'Teirosei and his Torah. So now all of the mitzvahs that they're doing that they have chosen by themselves to do, these are man-made. And they're no longer mitzvahs Hashem. And this is the point that we're bringing out. It's a very deep point. And there's a lot in it. But this is what the Chazal are telling us. This is why HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that as long as there's idolatry in the world and non-believers, his wrath is there. Because here the Almighty created a world. He created people. The bond between the world and him, the bond between people and him, are these two mitzvahs. And everything else follows. Now comes along people and they sever that. They know better. They know about Oriental religions, or they know about Arab religions, or they know about evolution, whatever it might be. And they sever this. And not only do they sever it for themselves, but for other people also. They have just severed the bond between the world and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, between people and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is what Abraham stood up against the world. States Abraham grew up in a world that had forgotten about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they went in all other directions. They went astray. And it was Abraham that stood up in the world to bring this mitzvah back to the world. This is why Abraham was known as the Eishon HaHezrochi, the Rishon. He was the giant pillar. And this was the greatness of Israel, that his descendants, just like Abraham, would guarantee that this remained in the world. So it is their obligation to bring this and constantly remind the world of this. Hitler knew this. That's why Hitler was obsessed with killing the Jew. We once spoke about this. Hitler wanted to enslave the world. He wanted to rule the world. So what did he waste his time with the Jew for? The Jew was not even a military threat to Hitler. And the fact is, there were great revolutions amongst Hitler's inner circle and he himself. They said he was a lunatic, that we should be busy conquering the world and fighting the Allies. They said the Meshuggah is going killing Jews. Hitler was more clever than his other people, because he knew that he could only rule the world if he could eradicate God from the world. And to eradicate God from the world, you have to eradicate the Jew from the world. As long as the Jew is left, the descendant of Abraham Avinu is left, and he represents God in his Torah, then no individual can rule. Hitler knew this. But now imagine how tragic it is when amongst Jews, heaven forbid, they sever the bond. And this is why the wrath of HaKadosh Baruch Hu grows. Here I went, and I created a world, and I created people and I sustained the world. And to Yisrael I gave this mitzvah to bring to the world. And I took you out of Egypt. And now you go to serve false gods. She'ein ben mamish, that's nothing. This is what you replaced me with. Leisoches, do not have rachamim, do not have compassion on them. Because it is those that lead the world to destruction. This is why his wrath glows. Now, in the middle of the parsha, the Torah all of a sudden tells us two things that seems to be unrelated. It says, for example, in Perek Yud Gimel, Es kol ha-dovar asher anochi mitzaveh eskem, eisei tishmeru la'aseis. Everything that I command you to do, this you shall guard. Le'seisif alo ve'le'sigra mimenu. You shall not add to it, and you shall not take away from it. This doesn't seem to have to do with this parsha of Avodah Zarah. And then also, a little further in Pasuk Hei, the Torah says, Acharei Hashem elakechem teilechu ve'eisei sirau ve'es mitzveisav tishmeru. This is in Devarim Yud Gimel Pasuk Hei. It says, you shall follow Hashem, your God. You shall walk after Him. You shall fear Him. You shall guard His mitzvahs. You shall listen to His voice. You shall serve Him. And you shall cleave to Him. Now, what does all this have to do with what we're speaking? Now, the answer is, this is what we've said. The converse, the antithesis to idolatry and to minus, atheism, is how much you cleave to the Almighty. You shall walk after Him. You shall guard His mitzvahs. You shall listen to His voice. You shall serve Him. You shall cleave to Him. How much you cleave to Him, that's the converse, the antithesis of idolatry and atheism. How much atheism and idolatry one has, then that is the converse to cleaving to the Almighty. It's zel umazeh, one against the other. A person goes far away, then is severed. But even if he comes under a little foreign influence, of foreign nations and of foreign beliefs and foreign ideologies and foreign gods, that severs the basic vokun, how much he can cleave to the Almighty. And that's why this is put here. And what does it mean, leisese for leisigrom, that you shall not add or take away? This mitzvah, this also is what we're speaking about. This mitzvah is referring to someone who adds to the chukim, to the statutes of the Torah, l'shem mitzvah, for a religious purpose. Notice says, Bal Tesif is only if you do the Shem Mitzvah. What's an example? Rashi brings examples. He says, someone puts, instead of having four subdivisions in the Tfilin Shel Rosh, in the Tfilin that you put on your head, and it's divided into four little boxes, he adds five. Instead of having a lulav and an eser, gadas and arova, he adds another plant. In the Birchas Kahanim, when the Kahanim bench the people with three brochas, they add another brocha. Now, why are they doing this? Why? What's the difference to him if there's four boxes or five? What are they adding for? Or what's the difference if you put on tzitzis on four corners or three corners? Why is he taking away? This is leisesif leisigro. Because he's doing it for religious purposes. This is not speaking where he does something is good. So he wants to do more of the good. This is referring to the chukim. Mora says, for example, if someone sits in a sukkah an extra day for the mitzvah of sukkah, or someone eats matzah another day for the mitzvah of matzah, because here there's a religious motivation. Otherwise there's no reason why he's doing it. And this religious motivation is not coming from the Torah. It's coming from other places. This is your idolatry. This is your atheism. He's creating new ideologies, which is not from the source, not from the Sheirish, from Hashem. Now, wherever we speak that a person must have full belief, basic botku, he must believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and cleave to him, and he should not believe in any other gods. We always speak Vayaminu Bashem Ubemesha Avdo Ubeteirose. We always referring to believing in Hashem and in Meshe his servant and in the Torah's Moshe. Why? One might say, what does Torah have to do with this? I believe in the Almighty, but what does Meshe have to do with it? And what does his Torah have to do with it? I have full belief in the Almighty. See, full belief. A person can ask a good question. We're commanded to believe in the Almighty and to cleave in him. How are we supposed to do that? Are we prophets? How do we know what the Almighty wants? How do we know what to do? How do we know what he tells us? We're not prophets. We do not have Gilui Eliyahu. Eliyahu doesn't come to us every day and give us our instructions. When we speak of believing in the Almighty, it is impossible to divorce from this concept. Va'aminu b'Hashem u'v'Meisha Avdo and Moshe Rabbeinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you must cleave to me, you must guard my mitzvahs, my commands, you must believe in me. My will and my commands I have revealed to the world through Moshe Rabbeinu. Ordain kol ha'Nevi'im, who was the greatest prophet. These are my commands, and this is Gilui Ratzeinu, this is what my will is. This was not only to the Jews, but to the non-Jew also. To the non-Jew also, the seven mitzvahs. That's why it's impossible to divorce the two. A person who says that I believe in the Almighty totally, but I have nothing to do with Moshe or his Torah, you should know, is apikursus uminus vekefer. He denies in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Anyone who denies in Torah's Moshe, in the Torah Moshe Rabbeinu, that was given me Sinai, as a din of din, he has the same halach of denying the Almighty, and he's classified amongst those who are non-believers. Because this is what the Almighty has revealed to us, these mitzvahs. Therefore, we cannot divorce one from the other. That's why it's brought that if someone accepts all of the mitzvahs, then it's good. If someone denies mitzvahs, then he's a kafir, then he's a non-believer. When it comes to mitzvahs, we have to realize one other point. What is the mitzvah? The mitzvah is the halacha. Halichas olam. Al tikrei halacha ela halicho. Halacha tells us in which way a person should walk. It comes from the word walking. Kodesh Baruch Hu revealed his will to the world, how he wants people to walk in this world. And that's the halacha. Therefore, a person always must seek to come close to the Almighty and to serve him. How does he serve him? He serves him through the Torah which Moshe gave us. And what is that Torah that Moshe gave us? That's the halacha. This is the way to walk. If a person believes in his full heart, he says, I believe in Hashem, and I believe in his Torah, I believe in the mitzvahs, then he's classified as a ma'amin. He's a believer in Hashem. Regardless if he fulfills them. There are many individuals that they are of such classification, but they do not fulfill all mitzvahs. They say, look, the mitzvahs are very, very difficult. Or they're tested. It's kind of, it means giving up a job, or it means giving up something that you like very much, or it's too difficult, or for example, they see others don't fulfill mitzvah, so therefore they do not think it's so important. Those reasons are not justified, but nevertheless, that does not disqualify an individual from being bechlal maminim Hashem, from being a person who is amongst those who believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But if you have an individual where he says, now, he says, look, this I'll accept, but this I cannot accept. This I don't believe in. I don't believe that this was given by God, or I don't believe in this mitzvah. This is what the Gemara calls a kefir b'mitzvah achas, or a mumel lahachis b'mitzvah achas. A person that rejects in principle, ideologically, mitzvahs, or even one mitzvah, then it's as if he rejects the entire Torah. This is in regard, this is because of what we were, of what we have explained. Now, a Jew has to be very careful. He must serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with his entire heart. And he must accept the entire Torah. In fulfilling the entire Torah, this he does his best. But he must accept in principle the entire Torah. But what he also must be careful of, not to bring himself under foreign influences. Influences of gods of others. Unfortunately, when we live amongst the nations of the world, we have to be very careful, because we're constantly exposed to other ideologies and other influences, and then we never know where our influence is coming from. I'll give you an example. When I came to Telz Yeshiva, I was told just shortly before I came that there were two movies in America at that time that were becoming big hits. One was a movie that had to do with a woman, and it was somewhat some promiscuity, not at all at the standard of the movies today, but a little. And that was becoming a big hit. Then there was another big hit. There was a producer, this is before your time, by the name of Cecil B. DeMille. He was a big Hollywood producer. He was known that he would produce movies that would become, that he would put tremendous funds in, and they would become classics. Classics with enormous scenery and color and huge casts and so forth. And he produced a movie at that time called The Ten Commandments. So Rabbi Yemeya, the Rosh Yeshiva, in a shmooze, once said, he says, both movies are treif. But he says, if I was forced, he said that himself, if I was forced where I'd have to go to one of them, which one would I choose? The one with the woman. This is what Rabbi Yemeya said. See? She said, why? Why? He said, I should go through my whole life influenced by Cecil B. DeMille as to what Maimed Har Sinai was, that what the Ten Commandments was, Moshe Rabbeinu. He says, here, all right, you see a woman, stuck, tormented, you shouldn't go to such a movie. You went. But the other, to fall under the influence where my vision of Aseres HaDibros, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealing himself to the world in Klal Yisrael, is going to be distorted by Cecil B. DeMille's vision, that of a goy, he says, that destroys a Jew. It's heaven forbid. This is what we're speaking about. A person is a maimon, but he does an avera. So he's a maimon, he's a believer that did an avera. This ain't tzaddik boretz, it's not tzaddik boretz, it doesn't do averas. But it's not a kefir. But a person who's bechlal kfira, who denies, now very close to that is a person who starts to believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu the way foreign nations believe in the Almighty. Foreign influences. In America, or today, we have what is called secular Judaism. The secularization of Judaism. What is this? This is a refashioning of Judaism. We have another term, Christianization of Judaism. America is very strong. In other countries it's very strong. Where Jews, in order that their Judaism should not be so much out of line with their non-Jewish neighbor, refashion their Judaism to the point where there were certain great Gaonim called it the Christianization of Judaism. That borders already on Avodah Zarah. That's coming under foreign ideas and foreign ideals. This was something that has taken place for a long time. And so on. Or, for example, you had something else that was called Zionistic Judaism. You had a tremendous movement where Judaism was refashioned into Zionistic Judaism. What do you have to make a Zionistic Judaism for? In Judaism, there's no mention of Eretz Yisrael. There's no mention of Avos Haaretz, of Beis Hamikdash, of Yerushalayim. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times, Moshe Rabbeinu's whole dream was only to go into Eretz Yisrael. So what did we have to create a Zionistic Judaism for? That wasn't emphasizing the Zionism in the Torah, but rather that was refashioning Judaism to place it under foreign ideals. And it did. Because those who created such a fashion tore out the rest of the Torah. This is what a Jew has to be very, very careful for. I'd just like to quote a few Rambams to see Ad Heichen Advorim Magim, how far this goes. The Rambam writes in the beginning of in Perek Beis of Hilchos Avodah Zarah. He says, "Ikat Avodah Zachovim Shelelaver Echad Mikol Abruim." What does it mean? Idolatry? You should not serve one of the creations. Now people say, again, well, this is not relevant to us. Le malach, not an angel. A person is not allowed to serve an angel. If a person thinks, I have my lucky angel, and he starts to believe that his lucky angel is doing things for him, this is le malach, he's serving an angel. Le gilgul, a planet. Le kechav, a star. Person starts to say a prayer to his lucky star. Le'echod me'arbe yisodis. Any force in the world, a person starts to say a prayer to it. Le'echod mikol anivroim mehem. Or any creation in the world, or anything that's created from anything in the world, he starts to say a prayer to a charm, to a mazel, to an angel, to some type of force. Now this is not a joking matter. Afal pi she'evid yedea she'ashem ulekim. Even though he knows that God is the Lord. Vohu eved danivra hazeh al derech she'ovar enesh ve'an she'deiru. And he's only serving this like the generation of Enosh served, that they knew there was a God, but they're serving his servants. This is an idolater in the full sense of the word. Now tell me how many of the religions of the world today are not classified as idolatry. And how many cults are not idolatry? And how many Jews in their well-meaning are not idolatry? This is what a prime said is an apikoros, and Nebuchadnezzar Alain is an apikoros. He's a person, he's a non-believer, and he doesn't know himself he's a non-believer. This is what the Torah demanded from us. Shalaisitu behiru halev laved elu. You shall not falsely serve, you shall not serve even with the thoughts of your heart. Elu. Liyaisirsu beinechum evein aveiri, even that these powers should be an emissary between you and the Almighty. Sforim rabim chovru evde kechovim vavedoso. There are many books that the idolaters have printed how you should serve. Tzivona HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shalei Likra Is Ba'isen HaSforim Klal. We are commanded by Hashem not to read these books. V'lei Naharebo, and not to give thought to these books. Le'bedover Midvoreho, not even one thing of these books. Afilu Listakel B'dmus HaTzura, even to gaze at their tzura, that's that they worship, we are not allowed to. As it states, Al Tifne, you shall not turn to their gods. And that's what it states in our Sedra, that they said, let us go see Echa Yavdu, let us go see how they serve their gods. And he says, and all of these all of these commands are all binyan echa, that you shall not turn to other gods and to other ideologies. Turn away from the Ikrei HaTorah. Then he says further, we're not only talking about idolatry, which is forbidden. Elakol machshov, any ideal, any thought, shugerim leilodim laka ikum ikrei HaTorah, which will cause a person to go away from the mitzvahs of the Torah. Muzorin onush leilaleis alibenu. We are commanded that we shall not take these thoughts on our hearts, and we shall not give thought to them. Achrei levavchem zuminus. Then he says one further halacha. There's many halachas, but we don't have to go into them. But he says, no, we'll have to leave that. The many, many relevant halachas. Therefore, the mitzvah of idolatry is that a person must cleave to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in totality. And he must have a full belief in Hashem, in Mesha, his prophet, V'teirosei. And this is, he must accept it all. He must try to fulfill it to the best of his capability. But it all must be accepted. And when he does a mitzvah, the motivation of the mitzvah must be, because I am your king and I have given you this mitzvah. I remember there was once a gathering for a new mikveh. There was a community that was thinking of building a mikveh, and there were, as a discussion, some said they should, some say they shouldn't. Said they shouldn't. So they called a meeting together, a gathering, and they called a number of rabbonim to come. and others to come to speak. So they asked me to come also. So one got up and he spoke about the benefits of mikveh. Another got up and spoke about the benefits of mikveh. Third person up and spoke about the benefits of mikveh. This one spoke about the great benefits that comes from mikveh and taras mishpocha, how it's good for a marriage. This one spoke how it's good medically, how it's good biologically, how it's good psychologically, so forth and so on. And to me it was a great wonder. When I got up, I said, all of these reasons you're giving are very good reasons. But why are you looking for all these other reasons? I said, the reason why we build a mikveh and we go to a mikveh, it's not because it's good biologically, or it's good socially, or it's good physically, or medically, or it's good for a marriage. I said, the reason why we go to a mikveh is because it's a mitzvah in the Torah. It says in the Torah that we have to have a mikveh and we have to use a mikveh. It's a mitzvah Hashem. When you table, what kind of brocha do you make? You make a brocha that you go into the mikveh because it's going to be good medically. You make a shekik shonu b'mitzvah and mitzivonu, that you have commanded us in this mitzvah. This is why we build the mitzvah. If you want to tell me that the mitzvahs of Hashem are also very good medically and are also very good for this and for that, matev, why not? It's because it's with Hashem. Later on, people came to me and they said, yes, you know, you're right. We didn't think of that. This is the foreign influences of Avedi Zora. That's why they didn't think of it. This is mamish, the foreign influences of Avedi Zora. This is what is known as the secularization of Judaism. Or the great Rabbi Yeshiva Soloveitchik, he called America is the Christianization of Judaism. And the Gifter told me that Mendel Sachs, son-in-law of the Chofetz Chaim, he came to America years ago. When he came back, they said, what did you see? So he gave a Yiddish expression, Getlecha Yiddishkeit. Christian Judaism, that's what he saw. And he was talking about the Fruma Judaism. Christian Judaism. It's not coming from the source of Torah. This is a scientific Judaism. This is a medical Judaism. And this is Zionist Judaism. You got all these movements. This is an Orthodox Judaism. Rav Gifter writes, he refuses to accept the term Orthodox Judaism. He says, what is Orthodox Judaism? He says, Orthodox is a Greek term. Well, so we're talking Jewish. It's Torah Judaism. This is conservative Judaism. This is Reform Judaism. This is all the Aveda Zora that we're talking about. Where we come on foreign influences of Judaism. Let me just conclude by saying that I mentioned before South Africa. South African Jews, Jewish community is a very special community in the world. And unfortunately, they do not realize it, that they are. And in the discussions that all go on, especially now about emigration, I would suggest that one of the points, at least to be listed in the pro and con, is the special climate of Torah Judaism here in South Africa, which does not exist at all, I repeat, at all, in the rest of the world. I'll give you a few examples quickly, because time is running late. The government here is very anti-atheistic, which you do not find in other countries. They're anti-atheistic, which right away from the government does not permeate an atheistic influence like you find in so many other countries that Jews are in. Second, the mode of the land here has always been separate development. Now this is contrary to what you find in other Western lands, the melting pot. The melting pot placed an enormous pressure on the Jew to shed his Torah Judaism and become like his neighbor, adapt the ideology of his neighbor. And this created the pressure of foreign influences in Judaism, in Yiddishkeit, and assimilation. The Jew here is free of that pressure because of the separate development of system, where every group is very happy to be unique by themselves. The Portuguese like to be Portuguese, and the Italians like to be Italians, and the Afrikaners like to be Afrikaners, and one does not impose their views on the other. So the Jew was able to be a Jew. A third point. You have a total freedom of religion here. When I say freedom of religion, firstly, anti-Semitism. You don't have anti-Semitism here. It doesn't exist at all on a level which it exists in the rest of the world. I repeat that, at all, on a level that exists in the rest of the world. So that itself gave a freedom for the Jew to develop his Egypt. But more than that type, that's a physical freedom of religion. But you also have an intellectual freedom of religion and a social freedom of religion. As mentioned, you don't have the social pressure to conform to other groups, as we mentioned. But not only that, you don't have ideological pressure. In the rest of the world, Reform Jewry, in many places in the world, is the domineering power, and Conservative Jewry also. And it places a tremendous pressure on the so-called Orthodox Jew or Torah Jew, either to conform or to withdraw and ghettoize himself. This doesn't exist here. Doesn't exist at all. There's no Conservative Jewry, and Reform doesn't place any influence on the Orthodox. If anything, it's the other way around. And another point, the Afrikaner is an individual, firstly, who is God-fearing. It's interesting, when I just recall recently when the government, they open a cabinet meeting all the time with a prayer. But when the Minister of Finance gave his major address about 6 months ago in Parliament, it was published in the newspapers. I took a look at it. He started it with a posuk in Misle, with a quote from Proverbs, and he concluded it with a posuk from Mishle, a quote from Proverbs. Now this is unique here. It's not in all the rest of the world. But besides the Afrikaner being a God-fearing person, he has respect for the Jew and the Jewish role. He realizes that the Jew was given a role in the world to do. Many times he's disappointed. He might be disappointed if he sees that we do not fulfill it. And he, being a Christian, he's not a fanatical Christian. He's a very moderate, low-profile Christian. Those Jews that have lived in other lands will tell you not so in other lands. In other lands, in some lands, the Christians, especially lands the Jews were in Europe, they were fanatical Christians that created enormous problems and pressures for the Jews. But even if not that, they were high profile. They were high profile. America is very high profile, and it's impossible for that influence not to seep into the Jewish home. Here they're very low profile, very quiet Christians, and very moderate, very moderate. It's because of this, these reasons, other reasons also, that you have such a wonderful growth. The boom that's going on in Johannesburg today, in Yiddishkeit, world experts have told me, world experts who are experts in Jewish development throughout the world, have told me that it's unprecedented in the rest of the world what is taking place in the Johannesburg area. So, just want to let you know that you're very fortunate to live here, Jewish-wise, which is certainly a very, very great element to take into consideration when people are thinking of the pros and cons of where are the best places to live. And this is what we're speaking about, the mitzvah v'anechi Hashem elekecha lo yelecha elihim achirim.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.